Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp provider committed to helping employers get their people home safely. Preventing workplace accidents protects families and keeps businesses productive. More at texasmutual.com.
From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, how Operation Lone Star and the Bowie Barrier fits into the history and culture of Eagle Pass.
As a matter of fact, our whole city has turned into a militarized area. And, you know, it also gives a bad impression of what Eagle Pass is. That's not who we are.
The feds have stopped building border walls, but Governor Greg Abbott hasn't. He's just getting started.
Construction has really started to pick up pace over the last several months. They're now building over.
And what is Operation Lone Star doing with high-tech cell phone spyware?
What that means in practice, how that is actually being used, whether it's only being used at the border or elsewhere or for things having nothing to do with border situation. These are all open questions that I think deserve greater scrutiny.
This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Who controls the southern border? The state of Texas and the federal government are in a battle over that question. Texas Governor Greg Abbott has deployed a floating barrier into the middle of the Rio Grande, and the Biden administration is suing, demanding its removal. The Department of Justice says the buoys are an immediate danger to people and the environment. It also violates the law, since there is a process that governs the border river, which was ignored. Abbott says that doesn't matter because Texas is in an emergency. It's being invaded. I went to Eagle Pass this week to see how this is playing out locally and also across the country. Before the Department of Justice sued Texas Governor Greg Abbott over the buoy barrier, Jesse Fuentes did it first. Fuentes runs a kayaking business in the border town of Eagle Pass, where he guides trips down the Rio Grande.
You're going to see some beautiful, if you're a bird watcher, you're going to see some amazing, amazing birds out there.
When the state of Texas deployed a 1,000-foot floating barrier in the middle of the border river, Fuentes sued, saying it ruined his business and it was harmful to the river. And that made him a target of hate from across the country.
I'm getting phone calls, I'm getting emails, I'm getting texts, I'm getting all kinds of stuff.
They are accusing him of working for the cartels, that he is a smuggler, and lots of demands that he move to Mexico.
This is the U.S. and that I don't belong here. And every type of thing that a Mexican-American can be referred to as derogatory.
Fuentes says he's not a political guy, but he felt like he had to take a stand.
I'm just one small business owner that spoke up for an injustice that's being done to the river, right? And one little conversation sparked an amazing event. And this is just my story, but there's so many stories to what's going on down here, because even their own troopers are complaining about the inhumanity and that we've stepped over the boundaries of humanity. I mean, even the own troopers that are enforcing this Operation Lone Star initiative are saying, we're doing wrong.
A section of the Rio Grande that Fuentes has such a close connection with has become a national backdrop for politicians from across the country. Most of them are Republican, and they visit the border to assess the situation, but they're only here for a few minutes, Fuentes says, and they're not interested in the needs of Eagle Pass. They don't visit the local schools, check on the food bank, or see how health care is being provided in the border community that has a large population living in poverty.
No. That's not what they do. They don't care about that. They just want to take their photo by the river and get on an airboat and ride around and say that, you know, yeah, we're behind Mr. Abbott and what he's doing. And then they leave, and we never see them or hear them anymore. Have they brought anything? No, they haven't. Have they given any money? No, they haven't. Are they interested in doing that? No, they're not.
Eagle Pass is sometimes referred to as La Puerta de Mexico, or Mexico's door. Now the community of about 30,000 people is at the center of a national struggle over shutting that door to illegal immigration, which Abbott says is an ongoing crisis. other Republicans have called the area a war zone.
No, sir, I do not see a war zone.
Juanita Martinez is a retired school teacher and the current Democratic Party chair for Maverick County. She says she's tired of her community being described as being overrun by illegal immigrants. In fact, she points out that illegal crossings in June plunged to their lowest level in 2 years.
It's so funny because this narrative that Abbott puts out is totally bogus.
Martinez also objects to the floating barrier. It's the latest tactic in Abbott's Operation Lone Star that also includes miles of razor wire spooled out along the riverbank and the heavy presence of Texas and out-of-state troopers.
As a matter of fact, our whole city has turned into a militarized area. And, you know, it also gives a bad impression of what Eagle Pass is. That's not who we are.
This military presence does actually connect to the historic origin of Eagle Pass. This was the first American settlement on the Rio Grande, originally known as Camp Eagle Pass. It served as a temporary outpost for the Texas militia that had been ordered to stop illegal trade with Mexico during the Mexican-American War. Now Mexico is the United States' number one trading partner, and with a new wave of industrial development underway in Mexico, trade with the U.S. is expected to explode, get even larger. So big that new international bridges along the border are being called for, which is something that Mexico had supported until recently. But after the controversial deployment of the buoy barrier, Mexico announced it's reassessing its plans. The reality of the need for a mature, stable commercial relationship with Mexico and the hyperbolic talking points that Mexico is not a U.S. ally is on a collision course.
The issue of illegal immigration and border security is the first, second, and third issue of importance to a primary electorate in the Republican Party.
John Thomas is a Texas-based Republican political consultant. He tells his clients all over the country that they need to go big on the border.
Any elected official or wannabe elected official needs to prioritize that as a top issue.
And if those candidates need a lesson on how to talk about the border, they should just listen to Abbott on Fox News.
The chaos has been caused by the Biden administration and its refusal to enforce the immigration laws of the United States. Texas is the only governmental body in the United States of America that's actually preventing people from entering our country illegally.
Cal Gilson says it doesn't matter that it's not true that Biden is refusing to enforce immigration laws or that the border is wide open.
That is a language that the Republican-based electorate believes, they accept. They're not willing to listen to facts that they find unacceptable and uncomfortable.
Gilson says Abbott is actually not that worried about winning the court battle with Biden because he is winning a public relations war.
At some point, I think Biden is going to win, but Abbott benefits every day by this fight with Biden because he looks like, especially to his Republican base, as if he is defending the country and the state of Texas against illegal immigration.
Gilson says the border becomes a big issue every election cycle, and 2024 will be no different. Governor Greg Abbott is building a border wall, and Mexico is certainly not paying for it. Texans are footing the bill, and when it's complete, the border barrier is expected to cost about $20 billion. So far, about 5 to 7 miles have been completed, but the wall-building process is expected to soon accelerate. There is little to no oversight for the spending of these billions of dollars, and few questions are being asked if this is even the best way to go about preventing illegal immigration or if there are cheaper ways to do it. Justin Miller writes about Abbott's border barrier for the Texas Observer.
Pledge that Governor Abbott first outlined a couple of years ago when first launching Operation Lone Star was to continue construction of the former President Donald Trump's border wall in Texas and using state funds to do so. So this has been a kind of ongoing project for the last couple of years. Back in 2021, as part of the massive increase in border security funding that the state legislature passed, they included roughly $1 billion earmarked to go towards construction of a border wall, and that's a different than, you know, the temporary fencing and concertina wire and razor wire that we've seen, you know, right along the banks of the Rio Grande. This is a 30-foot steel barrier, much like, you know, basically replicating the federal wall that was built during the Trump administration. And so over the past couple of years, the state has been slowly ramping up this project and has now built about close to 5 miles of new border wall on private property in various border counties from the Del Rio area all the way down to Brownsville.
The federal government, when it was doing the border wall, has the ability to waive a lot of environmental protection laws, water protection laws. They're able to do a lot more in constructing the wall than the state has. The federal government has more power. So is what is Abbott doing in regards to dealing with these environmental protection issues?
Yeah, so as far as I can tell, you know, there are certain things that the state still is following in terms of doing, you know, wastewater and stormwater reviews and permitting for construction and everything for this project. But if, when it comes to, for example, I reported in this story about construction of a wall on a ranch in Starr County that was home to some endangered species, including milkweed and other rare species and vulnerable habitat that was, you know, dug up and destroyed because of the construction. And because this is on private property and this is a state project, it doesn't come under the auspices of the federal law protecting, ensuring protection of endangered species. We've also seen, you know, similar to the buoys, the governor and his administration kind of flouting federal regulations and requirements regarding floodplain analysis and you know, notifying and cooperating with federal authorities on this the status of this project and potential impact on the river.
Availability of land, as you said, a lot of this is private property. He has to reach agreements with these landowners, basically what, buy a parcel, buy a slot of their lands to build a wall?
Yes. So when the funding was initially approved back in 2021 by the legislature, there was an amendment passed that explicitly forbade the state from using eminent domain to acquire land to build the state border wall. And this is a big difference between the state Texas border wall project and the federal project. As you may remember, a big point of contention was during the Trump administration, the federal seizure of land under eminent domain to take land from private property owners and to build the wall. In this case, the state has to negotiate with private landowners along the path where they want to build border wall. They're not able to force an owner to sign an agreement or a land easement to build the border wall. So this has been a much more involved and kind of slower process the state has found than being able to, you know, just unilaterally seize property from landowners so far.
It seems like there's an issue of whether or not the state is negotiating in good faith. They're making promises, agreements have been reached, and then, as you report, those agreements seem to be broken and there is regret from the landowners. Talk about that.
Yeah, so from at least one landowner that I spoke to outside of Del Rio, where the state is building several miles of border wall, this landowner who owns a ranch in the area, the state wanted to build a border wall through his property, and He signed an easement after negotiating for a price that he was comfortable with. And he says that initially they said that, yeah, he would get they would ensure that there's a gate, an access gate included in the wall on his property, so he'd be able to get to the back end of his property. And that, you know, the size of the easement would, you know, only run just along the back end of his property line. And as he says, the state ended up taking more of his land than he had originally agreed to, didn't build a gate on the border wall through his land, and now is looking back at this still kind of in an ongoing fight with the states and its representatives on this project to try and figure out a solution. And he's looking back at this and feeling a lot of regret and feels like he was misled by the state on this.
So you said the state of Texas has built 5 miles so far, is that right?
The last update or hard numbers that I've seen, I think, were somewhere in the range of 5 to 7 miles of completed or close to completed border wall. And construction has really started to pick up pace over the last several months. They're now building over, I think, on 5 or 6 or 7 different sites along the border in multiple counties now.
And this at a cost of hundreds of millions of dollars?
Yes. So as I mentioned, the state allocated $1 billion in 2021 for this project. The state has already spent, hundreds of millions of dollars on this project to construction contractors to buy land from private property owners. And this is just to build the first 40 miles that they say this first $1 billion will be enough to cover. And, at this rate, it looks like if they want to build the, over 800 miles of border wall that Governor Greg Abbott claims to want to build and is needed to build, that would come at a cost of close to $20 billion. So this is a huge project.
This is to stop illegal immigration into Texas, which is what Abbott is basing the entire Operation Lone Star on. And is this going to do that? I mean, we've seen border walls go up before, and we've seen ladders defeat them very easily. Also, there's coordination with the United States Border Patrol in using that. I don't know if a Texas built border wall is going to work with what the needs are for the Border Patrol. But spending, as you say, all these billions of dollars for something that can be defeated with a $5 ladder, I don't know if that is what, effectiveness is.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen this time and time again, during there's analysis of the wall built during the Trump administration showing, there's hundreds of cuts and holes, into the newly built wall over, in recent years. And it shows, this is a pretty medieval solution, a sensible solution to a very complex and fluid situation on the border where, the flow of migrants is, kind of constantly shifting, and it's kind of a fallacy to think that build this slow kind of plodding project to build a steel wall in one stagnant area, piece by piece is going to have any sort of meaningful short-term or long-term impact on the immigration.
Is there a auditor or inspector general, someone who's keeping an eye on the cash box?
As far as I know, there is not. The state legislature in this most recent session held hearings for the budget and appropriations and about this border wall project specifically. There wasn't a whole lot of real scrutiny on this project, and the lawmakers ended up without any debate or really any public discussion, allocating another close to $1 billion, it looks like, for this next tranche of border wall construction over the next few years. So there hasn't been a whole lot of scrutiny. It's not clear whether, you know, there's any sort of clear accounting or accountability for this project, and it's not clear if there will be at any point.
Justin Miller is a reporter for the Texas Observer. His article is Abbott's billion-dollar border barrier. If not a border wall, then what? How do you keep people from crossing the border illegally? Well, there are high-tech solutions for border security, and one of them is monitoring cell phone activity, which is something that Operation Lone Star is capable of doing with the purchase of the software package called Tangles. But there are concerns and questions about how the software is being used, if there is proper oversight, and if Texans are being targeted in violation of their privacy and civil rights. The nonprofit investigative newsroom, The Intercept, found out about Tangles. Sam Biddle is a technology reporter for The Intercept.
So Tangles does a whole bunch of stuff. It's sort of an all-in-one surveillance tool aimed at primarily law enforcement, government use, but also private sector use. It includes a variety of tools for surveilling public web use, can scour social media postings, in-app content, has image recognition capabilities. But I think the standout feature, and easily the most controversial one, is its ability to track an individual's location using their phone. And not just track it, but track it without a court order, which is typically needed if you want to follow someone around.
So just that piece of information in and of itself, that Greg Abbott's Operation Lone Star has purchased a subscription to this software, surveillanceware, is that in and of itself a story?
Well, I certainly think so, yeah. I mean, this is an incredibly powerful technology, the ability to select a person or select a geographical area and say, I am now going to be able to see everyone who set foot in that area, so long as they were carrying a cell phone, which, you know, in 2023 is everyone, essentially, and then follow their movements to presumably where they live, where they sleep, where they work, you know, wherever they may go, even if they are under no suspicion of wrongdoing. I mean, I think the key thing to keep in mind with this kind of technology is that it is based on commercially available data. This is data that is bought and sold, not data that is acquired using, you know, a subpoena or a search warrant. You are just buying this information. And by buying it, you avoid the kind of safeguards that are in place in the United States, namely the Fourth Amendment, that typically dictate what kind of potentially invasive searches the government is allowed to do. This technology, because it is commercial in nature, sidesteps all of that. And you know, critics and observers of this technology worry that when you remove those safeguards, you are really amping up the potential for abuse.
Now, there is another software out there that's gotten some media coverage called Pegasus, which some governments have purchased, like in Mexico, to surveil journalists, and they're able to, I guess, get phone conversations and text messages and all sorts of stuff. This is not that. This is what like a skinny Pegasus?
Yeah, so, the different tools that could be used in conjunction with one another, potentially, but Pegasus is used mainly to get the contents of a phone. So if a government is able to successfully, you know, implant Pegasus on a target's phone, they would be able to read that person's text messages and look at their photos and you know, read their emails, etc. Pegasus basically allows you to act as if you were holding the phone in your hand. You have access to it. What Tangles provides, on paper at least, is the capability to follow that phone, not to get what's on it, but to say, I'm interested in this iPhone, and I am now able to see wherever it goes throughout the day, every day, and look backwards in time, I should add, to see where has this phone been? Where has it traveled? What other phones and owners of those phones has it come into contact with? That's what Tangles provides.
Has Operation Lone Star, have they admitted that they have?
The Texas Department of Public Safety did not turn a request for comment or answer any of the questions we had on this technology. But we know they have it because we have the receipts, as they say, but also literally the purchase orders that the that were generated when the state of Texas did business with Cobwebs. Procurement records are publicly available if you request them, and these are obtained through a public records request in the state of Texas.
Do we know how Operation Lone Star is using this technology?
No, and that is really a million-dollar question here. The state did not answer any of the questions we put to them. You know, first and foremost, how is this being used? All we know is the capabilities they have. We know that they now have the ability to track someone's movements through their phone at will without the typical judicial oversight. What that means in practice, how that is actually being used, whether it's only being used at the border or elsewhere or for things having nothing to do with the border situation, these are all open questions and questions that I think bear, that deserve greater scrutiny.
Trying to imagine why it would be useful for Operation Lone Star to have something like this, or they're able to track people who are in the country undocumented, who come across, they're seeing phones coming across the border.
One thing this would allow the state to do is on a map get a very rapidly determine all of the phones that have been say at a particular border crossing. You could potentially view a mobile device as it crosses the border and follow that person as they proceed further into Texas, hypothetically. You could see who they've come into contact with. You could then track the people that they've come into contact with. I think what's concerning here is the potential. We know that this is expensive software, and many hundreds of thousands of dollars that has been spent on it over the past few years. So it seems like it was at least of value to Texas DPS. That these all remain open questions as to how exactly it is being used, but experts who discussed this with us for our story said that just the fact that this capability is in the hands of the state and without any real meaningful oversight is cause enough for concern.
Could this technology be useful in monitoring, tracking activists who are trying to protect the rights of migrants who are, or also is it useful in tracking political opponents? Could it be used for that?
I can imagine it would be useful for tracking anyone you might want to track, whether the state would do so and really flagrantly abuse this tool that is supposed to be for investigations of crimes is another matter. But if you're asking whether it's technically possible, absolutely.
Sam Biddle is a technology reporter for The Intercept. They report that Operation Lone Star is using cell phone surveillance, but there are lots of questions about oversight and the protection of civil rights. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. You can email us at texasmatters@tpr.org. There are past episodes of Texas Matters on our website at tpr.org, and you can download, subscribe, and rate us wherever you get cool podcasts. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.
Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp provider committed to helping employers get their people home safely. Preventing workplace accidents protects families and keeps businesses productive. More at texasmutual.com.